In our New Testament lesson, we are continuing in our study of the Gospel of John. Today we are in the fifth chapter, the opening verses, reading verses 1 through 9. Listen to God's Word. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, there is a pool, called in Hebrew Bethesda, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take up your mat, and walk." At once, the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Jesus is again in Jerusalem. And while there, he goes to a particular part of the city, a pool, which is near a particular gate known as the Sheep Gate. And the pool had kind of a unique architectural design. It had five porticos or colonnades. And this pool had a particular tradition around it. We might not quite get it in the first reading of the scripture, but if you looked at the bottom of the page in the footnotes, it would tell you something because it was added on as a text in later manuscripts, but generally believed not to be originally part of the original Gospel of John, that there was a certain custom or tradition connected with this pool. And so the actions and what the man says might be more understandable. Every once in a while, the pools would be agitated. The waters would kind of bubble up, and it was believed, although it was probably underground springs that were making that happen, it was believed that from time to time, an angel of the Lord, was the one who was troubling the pool. And it was further believed, again, you can read it in the footnote at the very bottom of the text in most Bibles. It was believed that whoever was the first one in the pool whenever the waters were agitated would be healed, whatever their problem was. And so as we read, now back to the text as it's recorded for us, we read that around the pool were a lot of people who were infirmed. They regularly went there. People who were lame, people who were blind, people who were paralyzed, because they were waiting for the waters to stir, and then they'd get in there just as fast as they could. All right, that's the context. So Jesus is at the pool, and he encounters an individual who we learn was paralyzed. That was his particular condition. And he had been coming to this pool for 38 years. It was a way of life. Waiting for the waters to be stirred and trying to get down there to be the first one in because it was believed that they would be healed. Well, Jesus encounters this individual and he asks him a question. Questions recorded for us in our text. It's recorded for us at the end of verse 6. It says this, verse 6, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew they had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Well, this might, if they had done so back in those days, might have garnered the response, "Duh." Isn't it a rather obvious kind of response that we would think the man would give to Jesus. Do I want to be made well? What do you think I've been doing here for 38 years? Well, what the man said, he didn't say, duh, and he didn't make a comment about the question. Rather, he got straight to what it was he was looking for. The sick man answered him, verse 7, Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me. He didn't really answer Jesus' question. He told him really what he was looking for. What he was looking for was really something much less than Jesus was asking him about. Jesus was saying, do you want to be made well? The man was saying, all I'm really looking for is someone to take me and maybe toss me into the pool when the waters become agitated. And that made me think about, I wonder if we're not like that from time to time. That what God offers us through Jesus Christ and the possibilities that are there for us, the blessings, the growth, is that really what we want? Or when we go to God, do we really just want something far less than God would offer us? C.S. Lewis uses the example in one of his writings about a child who would settle for just making mud pies in the dirt because they have no idea what it would be like to go to the sea and to build castles in the sand. They're just willing to settle for something far less than the possibilities may be there. Well, we may think that this question that Jesus is asking the man is not really such a great question. It really has a rather obvious answer. But I think if we look at it carefully and think about it ourselves for a little bit, we might think that it's really a pretty fair question. Do you want to be made well? You know, this man had been going to this pool as a way of life. 38 years. His condition of paralysis may have been really the very thing. We don't know. This is really kind of conjecturing and reading into it. But it may very well have been the way he supported himself, by begging. He had a condition out of which people might be willing to give him money. To really be made well would have changed his life. It may have taken his livelihood away from him, we don't know, but it certainly would have changed the pattern of his life. Do you want to be made well? It's a fair question. What do you really want? You know, we could ask that same question of ourselves on so many levels. I should complete the narrative here, though, before I turn it to application, that what Jesus does is, after the man says, all I'm really looking for is just someone to put me into the water, Jesus doesn't mess around with the water. He just speaks directly to the man. Jesus said to him, stand up, take up your mat that he was laying on, and walk. And the man does. Instantly. Immediately. Not waiting for troubling of the water. This is Jesus Christ speaking to him. This is the Son of God who is telling him to stand up and pick up his mat and walk. And he does. And then there's just a little caveat at the end, and we're going to look at this more next week because it's going to launch us into a different kind of direction here. And we notice that it's the Sabbath on which this happens. Just tuck that away for now and we'll come back to that. But the man is healed instantly. Because it's Jesus who has healed him. Well, we could ask that same kind of question on so many levels of our own lives. Do we want to be well? Do we? Really? And if we did, wouldn't that affect the way we live our lives? To be made well means to change. Change is scary. Sometimes it's far easier to just live out of the patterns of life in which we become comfortable, like the man for 38 years who pretty much knew what his day was going to be day in and day out, to be made well would be a radical change. Do we want to be made well? If we really wanted to be made well and to be healthy physically, wouldn't that show itself in how we live our lives? If we really wanted to be healthy, wouldn't that affect what we eat? Wouldn't it affect what and how much we drink? Or whether we get exercise? Or whether we take care of ourselves with going to the doctor and doing the things that we know are healthy? If we really wanted to be made well, wouldn't it show in the way we live our lives? If we really wanted to be made well relationally, wouldn't that affect the way we relate to people? Wouldn't it change the patterns of our lives of anger and self-centeredness? Wouldn't we really try to reach out to other people if we wanted healthy relationships? Wouldn't we really try to put them ahead of ourselves? Or is it just too easy to not change? To just live in the patterns we've lived in 38 years, 58 years, 60, 90, whatever. Isn't that far easier to do that than really to change and be made well? If we really wanted to be made whole and made well spiritually, which after all, that's a good bit about what we're about here in this place, wouldn't that show itself in the patterns of our lives? Now, this one I am preaching to the choir, and we're all the choir in this sense. Wouldn't we be involved in worship on a regular basis? Wouldn't it be more than just an occasional event in our lives? Wouldn't we want to dig a little deeper in God's Word if we really were concerned about the state of our souls? Wouldn't we want to know God's Word in a deeper way? Wouldn't we go to Sunday school, for example? Wouldn't we pray a little bit more? Wouldn't we really take seriously the stewardship of our lives in all of the categories of time and talent and treasure that we talk about this time of the year in stewardship? If we really wanted what it appears we want, what we may think we want, wouldn't it show in the way we live our lives? So the question that Jesus asked of that man is a really fair question. It really cuts right down to the heart of it. Do we want to be made well? So, let me pose it. Not providing answers this day, but there are answers. The person who asked the question was the one who had the power to make change. And so if we want change in our lives, we're in the right place. We're talking about the right person, Jesus Christ. But maybe we really have never honestly faced the question, do you want to be made well? Do you? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.